Welcome to a post-game edition of Locked On Grizzlies. I am Peter Edmiston, and I wish I had a happier topic for you out there. I presume you are a Grizzly fan if you're listening to this. Most of you are. And if you are, then you saw a very ugly game, but that's not necessarily a surprise. It's been ugly the last couple times that the Hornets have come to FedEx Forum, and this one was ugly for some different reasons. Last couple games, the Hornets were in town. They just sort of blew out the Grizzlies with a lot of outside shooting, and the Grizzlies were in bad funks each of those times. This was not the case tonight. The Grizzlies came in playing, you know, really well, 5-1 atop the Western Conference. Everything looking good. You've got the Hornets coming in on the second night of a back-to-back. It all kind of, you know, seemed to point in the right direction, and yet it didn't, particularly because the second half was just atrocious. And the Grizzlies' finishing, or lack thereof, was, you know, particularly atrocious. It was one of the crazier games I can remember for just a sheer lack of ability to put the ball in the basket. I mean, that is ultimately what this thing comes down to. And you have Marc Gasol and Mike Conley combining for 8 of 33 from the field. And Mike Conley, 4 of 18 himself for 16 points, primarily because he went to the basket so much. And, hell, he missed pretty much every time. But he drew fouls and drew contact. I mean, that was the only way that he was getting anything done in this ball game. And it's been like that for Mike all year. And I'm going to double back around to that, you know, in just a moment to talk a little bit about, you know, where Mike's at and what's going on with him. But it was just a really strange performance. You know, the Grizzlies for the game shoot 34% from the field and shoot 23% from three. It was really only the free throw line that saved them. They go 27 of 33 from the foul line. But it was the second half where things got really bad because, you know, the Grizzlies were missing some shots, and they were getting good looks throughout the majority of this ballgame, and particularly in the first half. They scored 57 points in the first half, and it could have been more. They really played, you know, in terms of the actual offense and execution and all that, they looked pretty good. But the second half, it just kind of ground to a halt. And in the meantime, the Hornets kind of found something going away from Dwight Howard, who, you know, played around, you know, 13 minutes or so in the second half. But there was a big stretch where the Hornets opened things up a little bit and got a little more of a spread look on the floor. And, you know, Malik Monk kind of got going in the second half. Kemba Walker got going a little bit and getting to the basket and drawing fouls. And, you know, the Hornets got a little run. Meanwhile, the Grizzlies couldn't make anything. They shot 25% from the field in the second half, 21% from three. And in reality, you're talking about, I mean, they only scored 26 points in the second half from the actual field. They scored 16 of those points at the free throw line. So 26 points in 24 minutes from the actual field. It tells you how much of a frustration it was. Grizzlies didn't get any fast break points in the second half. Only got 10 points in the paint in the second half. It was just a rough outing. And you know, it kind of you crash back down to earth pretty harshly when something like this happens. Tyreek Evans in the second half, 1 of 9. Mike Conley, 1 of 6 in the second half. Mario Chalmers, 0 for 4. Even Chandler Parsons, who, you know, started off looking like he picked up right where he left off in the Houston game, he is 0 for 2 in that second half. It's really only Dylan Brooks and James Ennis who were okay. They were combined 5 of 7 from the field. Everybody else was 6 of 37 in the second half. And obviously that's not going to get it done. And it's a frustrating situation, but it's a reminder of this short group. And it's a reminder that they really are dealing with numbers that don't add up. and still missing some components for this team. You saw, for example, there were big stretches of time when Jarrell Martin was out there. And by the way, reportedly the Grizzlies are going to pick up Jarrell Martin's fourth-year option on his contract. Not a huge shock considering that they kept him on the roster, but certainly a continued sign of remarkable turnaround from a guy that looked like he was going to be waived, just a month or so ago. Jarrell was out there, and, the Grizzlies had this great move where they moved the ball really nicely, got Jarrell Martin a wide-open look, and he missed it. Then you go back to the other end, and defensively he ends up getting switched onto guys, and it just didn't work for him. And he played, almost 12 minutes in the second half, and late in the game especially, he didn't need to be out there. Those minutes ultimately ended up being played to some extent by James Ennis. I would have liked to have seen Chandler Parsons back out there, actually, because, believe it or not, Parsons is one of the better defensive players for the Grizzlies this year. He's got size, he's got length, he's got the ability to do that, and he can make, the outside shot. Whereas, not to say that James Ennis can't, but I would probably, weirdly enough at this point, lean Parsons over Ennis. But I think Parsons was dealing with minutes restrictions. He'd played around 19 minutes at that point, so I don't know that he could have come back into the game. So it just again highlights how the Grizzlies struggle to find that other guy. And Tyreek Evans had been that guy for much of this season thus far, but again in the second half he's 1 of 9 from the field, and he was getting after it. He got to the foul line. He was he was responsible for many of the offensive rebounds that the Grizzlies picked up in the second half. He was active. He was doing everything that he could do. But Tyreek has that thing in him where he's going to take shots, and he's going to take a lot of them, and he's probably going to take a few bad ones. He is a bucket getter, but sometimes the flip side of that is that he can be a little too ball dominant, and if things are not going well, if the ball's not falling for him, then that can work against you. And that's what happened to the Grizzlies last night. It worked against them pretty dramatically. So, I don't know that this necessarily changes anything for the Grizzlies, but it is a good reminder of how this is a work in progress, and how there is still a lot to be done, and how they've been putting this thing together effectively, but they've been doing it a lot with, I'm not going to say smoke and mirrors, but they've masked a few weaknesses, and now those weaknesses came out a little bit more clearly in this ball game. It's something they're going to have to work on and go back to the drawing board and clear up. I mean, defensively they weren't bad in this ball game at all, but down the stretch, the Hornets found a way to make a little something work. And what they did was, when they went away from Dwight Howard, you saw them go a little more spread oriented, but more importantly for them is they started to work the Grizzlies over spacing wise and started to test the switching of the Grizzlies and started to set picks higher and higher to allow Kemba Walker to get ahead of steam so that he could get to the basket and be aggressive, and that paid off in drawing a few fouls on the Grizzlies, down the stretch. They also opened up, passing lanes and gave Kemba the opportunity to be, more of a creator, which he was, down the stretch. That's one of those things that the Grizzlies are going to have to work on. Teams are going to do that to them, and teams that know that they're still in infancy in terms of dealing with a lot of the stretching or a lot of the switching that they're doing, and a lot of the movement that they're asking some bigs to do, a lot of the side to side stuff. Teams are starting to understand that there are vulnerabilities there while the Grizzlies are adjusting to this, and the Hornets took advantage of that last night. Circling back to the point about Mike Conley. Now, this is something that You know, it's, I'll say this. I don't know that Mike Conley is fully healthy. He's not listed on an injury report. He's always, seemingly somewhat banged up. That's kind of just been the par for the course for Mike throughout his entire career. But I don't know. I don't remember anything close to this from Mike. And he's missing stuff that he normally would make. He's missing open threes. He's missing shots at the basket. He just doesn't look like himself. And if he's not hurt, if he's healthy, then the Grizzlies have a problem. Because he was bad. He was bad in this game. He's been bad for a lot of this season, believe it or not. I know some of the numbers will disagree, but Mike has really only been keeping himself afloat in terms of scoring by going to the foul line. And in the second half, when he didn't get to the foul line, he only got, three free throw attempts. In the second half, he scored 3 points. 3 points in the second half on 1 of 6 from the field. He was down the stretch really a non-factor. Even in the clutch times that you saw him earlier in the year be able to perform, he didn't perform in this ball game. And so that's why I ask. I just wonder if he's fully healthy, knowing how good he can be and knowing the kind of pride he takes in that and the way that he approaches the game. He sounded after the game, he's determined, but yeah, he did look like he was getting a little bit discouraged and a little bit angry, I guess, with the way things have gone, and that's understandable. It's certainly understandable, given how he started this season. But I want to dig into the numbers a little bit more because and I know that something's not quite right. So let's get down to it. And if we look at his numbers on Synergy and we start to break down, specifics, the problem becomes immediately apparent. Last year, Mike was one of the best offensive players in the league on a per-possession basis. You're talking about a guy that averaged 1.14 points per possession in jump shots last year. That put him in the 94th percentile, which is extremely good. He shot 43% on jumpers, all jumpers, and an effective field goal percentage of almost 57% just on jump shots. Very impressive. Well, let's look at it this year so far. Same metric, jump shots. This time now he is averaging 0.74 points per possession on those same jump shots. That is a reduction of around 40%. He is now in the 24th percentile this year rather than the 94th percentile last year. And he's shooting 25%, actually just under 25% on jump shots this year, 12 of 49 to start the season, with an effective field goal percentage of just under 37%. Again, as a reminder, last year that was 43% and almost 57%. Now we're talking about 24.5% and 37%. Significant reductions. In those numbers for Mike, go to catch and shoots. Again, this is one of the reasons why David Fizdale, as one of the first things he really did for the Grizzlies was move Mike Conley off the ball more and more to allow him to be more of a weapon on the offensive end. Well, it paid off because in the half court, in terms of catch and shoot, so, you catch the ball, you shoot it. Catch and shoot, Mike Conley was in the 95th percentile last year, 1.3 points per possession, 45% from the field. Now, this is early, and there's not a whole lot of attempts here, so bear that in mind. You're talking like 15 field goal attempts here for Mike. So way, 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 way too low to get a major sample here, but early on, He's shooting 27%, 4-15 in those catch and shoots. That puts him in the 24th percentile again around the league. Now, you know, there were 162 attempts that we were dealing with last year, and we've only got 15 right now. So, you know, not a sample that you can get real excited about. But nonetheless, it kind of points you to, okay, there's something going on here. Same thing with all the jump shots off the dribble. He's taken 29 of those this year, and he's only made 8. That's 28%, 38th percentile around the league. Last year, that was 96th percentile at 1.1 points per possession. This year, it's 0.83 points per possession. He shot 44% on those shots last year. It's 28% this year off the dribble. Again, that sort of is one of the most effective things for him when it comes to you know, being a pick and roll specialist that he is, but this year he's not. And so all those numbers point you to a guy who is so far below the norm, so far below what he did last year and even the year before that, that it feels like something is not quite right. It feels like something is going on with Mike. And again, I can't really, you know, put my finger on it. He's still driving to the basket. You know, he's still, even from a pick and roll standpoint, he's doing pretty well when you incorporate the other aspects of it. It's just the shooting that is really problematic. And last night, excuse me, the finishing was, you know, particularly problematic. He's able to get fouled a lot, which has helped cover up for some of that stuff. But you know, as a shooter, as an isolation player, that kind of stuff, he's really struggling this year. And if he can't perform, then obviously, you know, there's going to be a problem. You know, he's a vital part of this offense. It goes without saying. And if he is going to be as ineffective as he was last night, if he's going to be as ineffective as he's been for a lot of this year, then things are going to have to change dramatically, and there's going to have to be somebody else stepping up to, you know, carry the load. On Saturday night against the Rockets, it was Chandler Parsons. It really wasn't anyone that was able to do it for the Grizzlies last night, and that's ultimately why they ended up, you know, losing that ball game. You know, the good news for the Grizzlies is the chance to come back tomorrow against the Orlando Magic, but the Magic have had a good start to the season, and though they have struggled a little bit of late, that's still going to present an interesting challenge for them, and they've got to get this squared away. They got to figure out who's going to be the guy that steps up if Mike and Mark aren't able to get it done. And you know, the Grizzlies defensively were pretty good for most of the game, but down the stretch, you know, they struggled. And ultimately, you can't expect to, you know, cover up when you shoot 25% in the second half. You just can't. There's not much you can do. So ultimately, the Grizzlies are, you know, they'll struggle for that reason. And until they can get that offense back clicking where it needs to be, then you're going to have the same issues time and time again. So that's part of it. Also part of it is that, listen, it's time to end this Andrew Harrison thing. I don't know exactly when Wayne Selden is going to be back. I keep getting some varying reports on that, and everyone seems to think he's close, but I don't know. Ben McLemore continues to look good, but he's not back yet. Regardless, it's time. It is time to end the Andrew Harrison thing. It is time to end it. He is dragging down the entire starting unit. It's over. Forget about it. Here's the numbers, okay? The starters are, all of them, in terms of net rating, are much worse than the bench guys. The bench guys, all the bench unit, Chandler, Mario, Tyreek, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Wright, all of them have very good net ratings. They've all been excellent, top to bottom, much better than the starters. The starters, though, all have positive net ratings. Mark, Mike, Jarrell, James Ennis, except for Andrew Harrison. You know, all those guys are around, you know, Mark is +4, points per 100 possessions. Mike's plus 2. Jarrell's plus 2. James Ennis is plus 0.6. Andrew Harrison is minus 12.5. Minus 12.5. The Grizzlies as a team are plus 5.5 in terms of net rating. He is minus 12.5. The defensive rating for the Grizzlies is 15 points worse than average when he is on the court. It is 9 points better than average when he is off the court. The Grizzlies are plus 16 net rating when he is off the court. It's time. End it. Find a different approach. Whether you have to start Tyreek, or whether you have to start Mario, or whether you have to start, doesn't matter. Anyone. Pick somebody. Start Ivan Rabb. It would be hard for him to be worse, believe it or not. Start Deonte Davis. It would be hard for him to be worse as a two than Andrew Harrison. Something has to change. It is getting worse, and it's dragging down the rest of the starting unit to the point where it is problematic. And Harrison only played 6 minutes in the second half. He's becoming the Kendrick Perkins Memorial starter. You play him like, you know, token minutes, and then you get him out of there because you're trying to, you know, keep the continuity of the second unit alive or whatever. It's done. It's got to be over. It's a big problem for this team. He is the one guy that is stands out like a sore thumb in this whole thing. So I would have to think at this point, put Dylan Brooks in the starting lineup. You know, I get that you want a secondary ball handler out there. So yeah, Mario or Tyreek or whatever, but just Chandler, go back to Chandler. Andrew Harrison's got to be out of the starting lineup. Just got to be out of the starting lineup. The Grizzlies will practice later on today. And of course, as I mentioned, we'll be back in action tomorrow night at FedEx Forum to try it again before heading out and doing the old LA double dip over the weekend. The Clippers and the Lakers. The Clippers, the best defensive team in the league, just gave up 140 to the Warriors, which reminds you that again, excuse me, when the Warriors feel like they're going to play, they are still extremely, extremely good. And it's just a matter of them deciding that they want to play on any given night. And against the Clippers, they seem to want to play. That is today's Locked on Grizzlies. As always, get in touch with me. Thanks again for all the great questions in the mailbag. Really excellent episode. So yeah, you've probably heard me cough a little bit during the episode. I'm almost over it, I think, but still working through it. So apologies for all of that. Get in touch with me on Twitter at Peter Edmiston, via email pedmiston@gmail.com. Thank you guys for all the downloads, reviews, and all that good stuff. I appreciate it very much. We'll chat again tomorrow as you continue to be locked on Grizzlies.